Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. Oh, praise you, Father. Thank you for what you're showing us in these days, Lord. And thank you for your great care for us and your deliverance, your great deliverance. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise you. We thank you for your wonderful work, Lord. Okay, we're going to continue the faction election war one. And the biggest part of it is going to be a sovereign act of God. You know, even though God is sovereign in all of it and he uses all kinds of vessels, the biggest part of it is going to be a sovereign act of God. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to start out talking about the Passover, earthquakes, and the enemies. And I want to say, first and foremost, that everyone needs to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We must eat the lamb for deliverance from the coming Passover and earthquakes. And we know that our lamb, Jesus Christ, has already been sacrificed, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And the only thing that's left there for us to do is to eat him who is the Word of God. After the sacrifice, they ate the lamb. And the lamb is the Word of God, and it's full of the promises. It's full of faith to overcome in all things, including the devil, in the flesh, in the world, etc., etc. And also be filled with God's Spirit. You know, because it's power over all these things. Thank you so much, Lord, for doing it. So people have to go beyond their religious traditions and believe the promises to partake in this Passover. I do realize that our prayers will cover some who are ignorant. We seek this goal of assimilating his word for promises and justification by faith so that the resulting protection that we receive will deliver us in the days to come. Okay? We who know should do, right? And sometimes people are ignorant. God is merciful with ignorance. And especially people we've prayed for to come into the kingdom, you don't want them taken out now before they get to see all those wonderful things, right? Well, God knows that, and he's going to answer your prayers and mine. Amen? So, it's very obvious that this administration, the Trump administration, have ordained certain insiders to leak out information so that there is a plausible deniability on the administration's part, right? We haven't said that. We didn't do this, and so on and so forth, you know. So, because obviously the factious out there, they'll jump on anything, twist it, pervert it, any way they can to make a few points, even though it's making them look real stupid, you know. That's why we call them the stupid demons. All right. So, going on, behind the Democratic Communist Party of the deep state and their mainstream media and their tech giants and bribed heads of nations has been the money of the Chinese Communist Party. Their plot to take over the world is very obvious now. And they've offered extreme amounts of money to heads of governments to lock their people down. Yes, of course, they want that. So, but these monies are being drained to bring down all of the above. You see, if you cut the money off at the source, the rest of these are going to dry up. And President Trump, to his credit, has, since he got in office, worked to dry up the deep state money. And he's been very successful. So much so that they're desperate. About a week ago, I was sent an article about the CCP, Chinese Communist Party, and their effort to replenish this money that they so need by attempting to take Taiwan, which has stored monies to support the GCR. And I understand an air battle between the CCP and the U.S. Air Force and maybe Space Force with Taiwan's Air Force. And the CCP lost this badly, from what they're saying. A lot of people don't know this. There's a confederation between Xi Jinping of China. He's not the Chinese Communist Party. He's been arresting the deep state Communist Chinese Party. He wants a republic, just like we want a republic. He is for Nisara economy. They want a part in that. They need it for their people. And, of course, to be left out of this, after 209 nations have signed up for it, to be left out of this is to be left out of the world economy. A lot of motivation there. So, Xi has been working with Putin and Trump and Modi, I believe, from India. They're all working close together. Not that all the other nations aren't doing the same thing. They're all working together to try to bring about something similar to a republic and freedom and provision for their people. And a lot of the people have been detained, locked up, executed, whatever, that were doing all the deep state's bidding. And many of them were in heads of government. You will find that many heads of government are not there anymore. Where did they go? Yeah. So anyway, a lot of people have argued back and forth about Xi Jinping, but he is definitely in the camp with America, and his people are going to die if he doesn't. He wants a republic. He wants the Chinese Communist Party out of there. And this is a blessing. Taiwan and President Trump have joined him with their military forces to help him in this effort, and they are being successful. I understand that there are both on the ground in China right now, and that they expect within the next couple of months to be successful in taking down completely the Chinese Communist Party. So it's very ironic that two underground bases of the Chinese Communist Party were waiting to invade when Biden took over, which everybody knows, including them, that he has not taken over. Almost all of his executive orders are in the trash can. Pictures were taken of him signing blank pages, you know, and things like that. And him asking, well, what is this? What am I signing? and signing it anyway, you know. And these bases were taken out. When I first heard about it, I thought, oh, no, I can't be. You know, that's not likely, you know. But then people from the inside started saying it, you know, that these bases were taken out, underground bases, by one of them by a bunker buster, and the other one was taken out by a rod of God. So, from space, if you want to go study that. It's a way to not tip the nuclear, you know, switch, because it's not nuclear. So it's anyway. So, but that left, of course, remaining in Mexico, 250,000 more Chinese Communist Party troops, which our military says will not be a problem. I can imagine. I mean, it doesn't take hardly anything for them to take out many thousands of troops. And they've done it. And these people are particularly vulnerable in the underground city that they're in. So these troops in Mexico may well be being beheaded of the Chinese Communist Party head now in their own country and ours. It's interesting, they're over here waiting for Biden to hurry up and take over, which he cannot do, because actually the United States is run almost completely by the military, and behind them and advising them is President Trump. Yes, he's still the president because he brought the country into martial law, and it was in martial law before this inauguration, so we're still under the martial law, which is still under him. And, of course, many other reasons that he's still president, but he's still the president. And you'll find soon he'll be back in officially in office. Okay, he wants the world to see. You know, you remember that Biden wore a boot. He supposedly cracked a bone in his leg or something like that because he tripped over his dog or whatever it was. I don't remember, but then we have pictures of him with his boot stepping up on a curb, not wincing at all, not even acting like it's anything. And those boots, of course, are tracking devices. And, you know, Hillary wore one for a while, and, you know, McCain wore one for a while, and quite a few people have worn them. And they got these people in their camp by showing them what they had over them and what they were going to do to them. And so they got control over them, including Nancy. Okay. And they're doing it so wisely because, I mean, this could have been a civil war, you know. So this beheading of the Chinese Communist Party is working well to actually take down all the people who are dependent upon them. Yeah, this means one thing, that the Democratic Communist Party, the deep state, the mainstream media, the tech giants, and the CCP are in trouble and getting backed into a corner. Now, that's not necessarily a good thing. I know that the administration and people that are speaking for the administration thinks it's all over. But we know better, okay? I can tell you, it's almost impossible to stop someone from loosing a pathogen, from loosing a plague. I mean, you can carry it in your pocket, you know? They can't read it from the satellite like they can radiologicals, you know? So anybody could do this. And I think they can spread it a lot bigger and farther than people think because they've already done it. They already sent a COVID-19 plague on our country, which has deteriorated because it's it won't last in the environment because it's man-made. It doesn't fit in. So it's dwindled down to nothing, or I will say like something about this, like a flu, you know. But now, of course, their vaccines are killing people, and that the proof of that is out there now, and it's making people very sick, and they're downplaying how many it is by far, and people are dying. Of course, this is getting out. And we have been told by the Lord in dreams. I've already covered this in previous in this series, in previous broadcasts. A far more dangerous plague is ready to be released by them, and they've threatened bio bombs. You know, when first the Trump administration were threatening to go in there and arrest Congress, they threatened them with a bio bomb and also radiological dirty bombs. And they, of course, they collected the radiological dirty bombs because they can see them from the satellite. But the biological bombs are a little differently. I don't know. I think they got snipers and things like that, but I don't know if they got all of them, and I don't know if you'd ever know if you ever got all of them. Okay? I suspect that this plague is one that is out there. It kills a bunch of people, and it dies out quickly. I suspect that from the types and shadows we've seen in the scripture. And they've used chemtrail planes in the past. I told President Trump 3 years ago, before, you know, COVID-19 came out, that they were going to spray a plague from the chemtrail planes. I told him that several times. Then I read somewhere where he went into Area 51, where the chemtrail planes were ruled from, found the chemtrail vats with COVID-19 in them. Yeah. So, it's likely that President Trump will be inaugurated as president of the restored republic when the Constitution says it must happen on March the 4th. It does. It says that. And the enemy is desperate to stop him. Okay. So I'll just give you a little bit of that so you understand that what I'm saying here is true. And that now I can see that there's possibly another reason for this thing that we're looking at here, but I don't know what it could be. On January 29th, Garrett Crawford sent me this. It's a video of a man in a FedEx warehouse. He's taking pictures of and videos of tens of thousands of body bags in storage, and their shippers shipping them out, putting, in other words, wrapping the pallet and the body bags to ship them out all over the United States. And he walked up and took pictures of the tags and what they were, cadaver bags. Yeah. On each one of those many. So, is the enemy preparing for another pandemic? I believe so. I'll put a link here to this young man walking around, covered face, you know, taking pictures of this stuff. And a couple of days after Garrett sent this to me, internet sources picked this up. I don't think they got it from him, but they picked it up. They put it out there. And evidently, elite people are looking for a place to hide outside the country. One place was in Alberta. And I got here a link, which I'll put on the text page here. And it's some rich person booked all 446 rooms at Alberta Canadian Lodge for 65 days. And this cost somebody like $5,798,000. And the estate is a collection of log cabins and other buildings that spread over 700 acres. It's well known for attracting high-profile, rich guests. So, very interesting. So we thought, okay, what are they going there to hide from during this particular time frame? And on the video, it gives you the time frame that they have booked the whole place. And people have called in, and they're turning them away. It's what it says there. So we decided, Michael and I decided, that we would check them out and see if this is the truth, you know. So Michael called to check out this story, and he found that they are booked up, just like the story says, from February the 23rd through April the 29th. Could this be the time period they expect this plague to be dangerous? I would think so. The Passover of the plague on Egypt is celebrated in 2021 on the evening of March the 27th for a seven-day festival ending on April the 3rd. Well, that's interesting. Right in the middle of this time period. So they obviously have a pretty good idea when it's going to be released and when it's going to give up. And so it's a seven-day festival. As you know, after the plague in Egypt, it took the people 7 days to get to the Red Sea. And this is a seven-day festival. And by the way, they had a celebration on the far side of the Red Sea. So, since the deep state has a thing for past dates, even biblical dates, that could be the plague between February 23rd and March the 27th. But, of course, all the publicity could cause them to change this, too. Possibly. Now that it has gotten out, we'll see. The first full day of Passover is March the 28th, the day after their beginning here. So, you know what the Passover is. It was the Bible says, a plague that skipped over God's people who had the blood of the Lamb on their doorposts. In other words, their faith was in the blood of the Lamb to save them, because God said he would not let the destroyer come into their house if he saw the blood on the lintel and the doorposts. So it was a protection of God's people in the midst of a disaster that came upon Egypt. It came upon the people who wanted to keep them in bondage, just like today. What a miracle that God is able to control something like that and to go into. And by the way, let me say, the Egyptians agree with this. Their historians agreed with this. This is not a fairy tale. They wrote about this. I've read it before. And they wrote about Planet X, too, and I've read that. So, this is a method to destroy those who wanted to keep God in bondage, right? It was called a plague. So, consider at this time the Egyptian historians who reported looking up and seeing the destroyer. I did a program a few years ago on this and just read it right out of the history books of the Egyptians, which were gathered together. And they looked up and they saw the destroyer as a red planet or a dragon, and that we call Planet X or Nibiru today. And this would have been shaking the earth let me say, when it comes around the sun, it is said to be maybe 40 days away from passing over Earth's orbit. Maybe. It depends on how fast it goes. Now, we just got a dream Lakeisha had, and it emphasized how very fast it was moving. So I'm thinking the faster it moves, normally the better for us, because it passes through without lingering out there and maybe cracking everything all the way through the core. I don't know. But it just seems like it would be better for it to swish right on through. At any rate, Lakeisha's dream was it wrecked the earth even then. So God does not want to destroy the earth or destroy the people. We still need to have a tribulation. But this would have been shaking the earth even before it came around the sun. I mean, upsetting the sun is bad enough. I mean, it can really rip the earth apart just like that. But coming around the sun, it may very well be seen for 40 days before it passes over the orbit. Or, like I say, if it's going very fast, less than that. Yeah. Well, it would be certainly shaking the earth and surely the Red Sea. You know, because the Red Sea was only 7 days away from the Passover. We received this in our prayer meeting by faith at random this morning. Deb Horton got Haggai 2 and 20. Through 23. And the word of the Lord came the second time unto Haggai in the 24th day of the month, saying, Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake the heavens and the earth. You'll recognize also Paul saying this in Hebrews. I will shake the heavens and the earth. What would shake the heavens? Well, this planet does that, you know. And the earth, and I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. Well, there's enemies right there. I will overthrow the throne of kingdoms. One of them was, of course, primarily in Exodus, Pharaoh, right? And he had to flee into the wilderness, by the way. I mean, the new Pharaoh, the old Pharaoh, died in the Red Sea. The water in his lungs proved that, you know. But the new Pharaoh had to flee into the wilderness because he didn't have an army and he was being invaded from other nations and plundered. So, I will overthrow the chariots. There you have it, the Red Sea, right? And those that ride in them. And whatever the Red Sea represents in our day, which we know pretty well what it represents, a destruction of the factions and the apostates who are hindering God's people, keeping them from growing up in God, keeping them from listening to the reformers that God is sending at this same time. Yeah. And the horses and their riders shall come down, every one by the sword of his brother. Now, I want to point out to you that this was written a long time after the Red Sea. So God is using the Red Sea as a parable for something that's coming. And it says, yet once more will I shake the heavens and the earth. Yet once more. Meaning this is not a normal thing. In fact, we think it comes through every 3,600 years. Sometimes it's on the same side of the sun as us, and sometimes not. This time it sounds like it is going to be on the same side of the sun as us when it comes around and passes through Earth's orbit. And then it goes on to say, everyone by the sword of his brother. Oh my gosh, there's one of those parables that we've looked at, the Jehoshaphat scenario where three armies were coming against him and they were all divided and conquered, you know. So he's tying the Red Sea together with that to show you how he's going to bring down our enemies in this day, because it is due. The various people I understand even in the government are saying March, others are saying April, but it's due, okay? So, in that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take thee, O Zerubbabel, which means born from Babylon. He was the man-child
who received from Cyrus the directions to go and rebuild the kingdom, and then he supplied him with the vessels and the money and all this stuff. So, O Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and I will make thee as a signet or a sign or a ring of authority, you know. For I have chosen thee, says the Lord of hosts. Notice the purpose of this great shaking is to bring down the enemies who want to bring us into bondage. That's what they were doing at the Red Sea. Oh, no, we lost our slaves. Go get them. They had second thoughts after Egypt was destroyed. Mm-hmm. They just couldn't figure on getting out there and plowing, you know. They didn't want to do that. So, consider these dreams that were given to Eve Brast about the Passover and the earthquakes. I'm going to call this one apostates and government fail to force the church into their evil, but earthquake kills the leadership. Y'all may have remembered this. You may have read it on our site. And, of course, we've been looking year to year to see when this was going to come to pass, and it looks to me like this is the year we shall see. So this is a portion of this. A Pakistani, which means pure place, right? Foreigner, found Eve as a type of the bride in her dream only to become converted. Okay? Eve said, she then handed me the piece of cardboard. I took it in my right hand, and I'm naturally left-handed, and held it up towards the light to my right. She had written the Roman numerals XXVIII, that's 28, on it. As I was doing this, a voice from behind me and up and to my right resonated through my being, asking, quote, "Are you ready for March the 28th? Unquote. I answered, "Yes." And after this, the Pakistani woman turned into a child, came around and took shelter under my right arm, which became a wing with white feathers. A protection. Well, you know, this is a good thing. This is letting you know that there are people who are ignorant of these things that will have some protection of the bride because of their prayers and authority, right? They will have some protection. Updating this revelation here, some don't really understand the Passover, but they're innocent towards the Lord. They're doing what they know to do towards the Lord, and we can cover them with our faith. And this is when the dream ended, and Eve had this dream on 10-10-10. And let me say, we were of course looking to see when this was going to come to pass, watching, you know. Well, the very next March the 28th was a significant day. March the 28th in Roman numerals represents the day the Roman Catholic Church, Catholic meaning universal, attempted with the Roman beast government to force the Jews, representing the Christians in our day, on threat of death, to join their corrupt religion, just as the factious are attempting today to do this, to force the Christians into their way of doing things. And, they're doing this in the government, and they're doing it in the church, the faction in the church. They are communists to the core, Islamists to the core, Judases to the core. They want to force you to do what they want to do. Judas was mad because Jesus wouldn't do what he wanted to be done. And he hung himself with his own hands. And so that's, you see this attitude in these people. They're going to have a fit if you don't do it or don't see it or don't even agree with them. They're going to have, this is what the spirit of communism does and radical Islam does. You either obey us or we'll kill you. You either convert or you're a goner. That's what they do. We can see it now. The whole country can see it now. And that's good because it's turned people away from them. Yeah. Well, anyway, this attempt to force them into their corrupt religion was thwarted by God using an earthquake on what is now March the 28th. Yeah, I'll tell you more about this as we go. This year, March the 28th, is the Passover, the first full day of the Passover. It starts on the evening of the 27th, right? We're not saying anything will happen on the 28th date, but the parallel as symbolism is unmistakable. And it could happen on that date because I know that the deep state has a proclivity of using dates, even Bible dates, to prove or disprove something, you know. So my question is, could something like this be a demonstration for the apostate church's sake? Because of this and more to come, those who have been given repentance and discernment among them may come under the authority and protection of the bride, just as this Pakistani did, right? So that's good. There are people, I remember when I was there passing through dead churches. I was looking for Jesus all the time. I didn't find him there. I was reading the Bible all the time. And that's what made me just keep right on walking is because I kept reading the Bible. I was never taught the Bible. I was raised in the Catholic Church, but I was never taught the Bible. So when I read the Bible, I became impressed that this was truly God's Word and that no man can put a word above God's Word. So when Haman, as the Antichrist beast, got an edict to destroy the Jews, it was Mordecai, the man-child, and Esther, the bride, who were used to save them, just as Haman was hung like Judas by his own hand. You see? So, I think the Lord directed me at this time to do a search to see what happened on this day. So I went to Today in Jewish History, and that was March the 28th, 2011. It was very interesting. That's when a faction started with us, and lo and behold, it revealed a whole bunch of fornicators, especially bisexuals, who had all joined together against us. So that was the beginning of it back there. And so this is pretty neat. I tell you, it really, really, you know, sunk home, you know. Earthquake saves Roman Jews from forced conversion, 1430. How about that? The church and the government of Rome set Wednesday, March the 6th, 1430, as the day when all the Jews of Rome must convert or face death. On that day, a great earthquake shook Rome, and many of the archbishops and the priests who conceived the decree were killed. Everybody saw this as a hand of God, even them. You know, following the earthquake, Pope Martin the V annulled the decree. Smart man. Update, March 28th is on our Passover this year. Okay. So, it seems that this great quake on 22nd of Adar, 5771, fell on our March the 28th, 2011. And now, again, this year, 2021, as a warning sign. This quake delayed the Roman beast and the harlot's plans to force the people of God to submit to their order. These modern apostate leaders are attempting to force the people of God into an agreement with them. As I told you, the faction is like a bunch of communists. You either agree with them or they'll heckle you the rest of your life. They think, anyway. So, Japan, excuse me, Japan got a terrible 9.0 quake, which took their land when they called for a Palestinian state to divide Israel on the 9th of March, 2011. Oh, demonstration there. A major earthquake hit Chile 24 hours after they would recognize a Palestinian state. In other words, people taking God's people's land. So take warning, apostates in America. The same could happen to you. The new Madrid is ready to divide America. It's locked and loaded. There is no mistaking the type of judgments falling simultaneously when God's people are pressured into agreement with the faction and apostates. Israel is also a type and a shadow for the church. They were just the Old Testament church. He called them out of the nations. And church means called out ones. And in Jesus' day, when he came to the apostate church of his day, he called some out. The apostates thought they were the church, but they weren't. The ones he called out were the church. He called them out, and they followed the Lamb whithersoever he went, right? So, I believe massive judgments will fall on the beast and the harlot when they attempt to bring the true people of God under their apostasy. And as we know, historically, God judges those who divide Israel's land and, let me say, the church's spiritual land. They can't take authority over the church's spiritual land because everything that's naturally true for the Jew is spiritually true for the church. The parable has to be translated, right? A lot of people don't do that. They drag things over naturally and they get confused. And they want to bring you under a law. All of the very constituents of this law are spiritual and not physical. The Sabbath, we find from the New Testament, is a ceasing from our works to do his works. It has nothing to do with a day. The Sabbatismos, which he said remains for the people of God, is a continual Sabbath. God doesn't just want you to cease from your own works one day. He demands we cease from our works every day. If you don't know about that, you can go on our site and study it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. There is a real Sabbath for the people of God, and it's not the parable. It's the fulfillment of the parable. Earthquakes coming during the times of these dreams that we're going to share. We reported in the last broadcast that Saturn was wobbling and then tilted over. And it showed a depiction of it, and it looked like it tipped for at least 40 degrees, maybe 45 degrees, in their depiction. And I put a link there last time. I'll put it here this time too. And now it's being reported just the other day that Mars, too, is wobbling. And Francis McKenzie sent this in, an article about that. And they said in the article, "Why is Mars not rotating on a straight axis? The red planet is wiggling and wobbling as it spins, and astronomers have no idea why." I bet some of them do, but they better not say it. This is all due to Planet X, or Nibiru, whichever you prefer, passing through. And many have said that are tracking them the best they can that this will happen in March or April. I believe it's leaked out of the government that some in there think it's going to be March. It could be. I tell you, it would be perfect if it was right around the Passover from there on. You know, we're talking about this thing coming around the sun and coming at the Earth's orbit. And, of course, all that time, it's going to be throwing a strong, strong magnetism towards the Earth and wrecking things. You know, if the moon can pass over the land and have an Earth tide, which it does, what could Planet X do? Oh, that's just imagine this thing is passing through and the Earth is turning. And as it turns, earthquakes happen around the globe, huge earthquakes. In fact, I'll prove that to you. So, this is one of Eve's dreams. It's a portion of her dream. The dreams are, all of these dreams are rather long, so I couldn't get them in today anyway. But so I just picked out pieces of them because they all address this situation. This is her dream from 4/23/2012. It's all about seven earthquakes, the New Madrid, the Man-Child, so on. We've seen that the Man-Child comes during these earthquakes. So, this is a portion of the dream, you know. She said, "I dreamed I was high above the earth, sitting on the clouds, and to the right of Tom Welling, the actor who plays Superman in the Smallville TV series. This was odd to me, because I don't ever dream of superheroes, but I understood the parable of Superman being Jesus in the Man-Child, with the latter rain anointing and supernatural abilities." That makes sense. Jesus is pretty much a Superman, wasn't he? And still is. He was pointing and showing me places where earthquakes were to take place around the globe and telling me about them. But the strange thing is, the earth was wrapped in a golden yellow tarp that was made of the same material as the yellow raincoat that my son Josiah wears. It used to belong to my dad, and he was way too big. It was way too big for him, but he loved to wear it when it rained. On top of the raincoat tarp was the red outline of all the continents of the earth. And each place that there was going to be an earthquake was the outline of a star in red. So these stars represented places of earthquakes. I only remember two places. One was around the Great Lakes. That would be the New Madrid, which is probably the worst one, at least in this country, that's going to go in the United States. And I remembered this one well because when I saw it in the dream, I thought about the American earthquake brings revival. That was a Revelation dream in 3:14 and 12. Okay. And the other was in South America. In the note here with this, I'm reading you the notes that were there when we put the dream on the site, okay? The Great Lakes, New Madrid quake could be the one that destroys the economy. Reed Midwest earthquake of epic proportions. And this could be the time of the manifestation of the man-child reformers, for Jesus died with an earthquake, but was resurrected at a great earthquake 3 days later, which I believe is the New Madrid, because it came 3 days after the Eastern earthquake happened. So there was an earthquake, and then there was a great earthquake. And I believe the man-child ministry is going to be resurrected spiritually right there to the new life of Jesus, the power anointing of Jesus, caught up to the throne, so on and so forth. She went on to say there were 7 stars, earthquakes, altogether, that he pointed out to me. These are evidently huge earthquakes that are going to go around the globe. And this reminds me of the 7 booms that I heard after waking up from forgiving the repentant dream of 4:2:12. And I'll share that, a little piece of that, after this. Okay. After the booms ended, a song was playing in my mind, and the lyrics were, "I can walk on water, I can fly, I will keep on fighting until I die." You can't make this stuff up, folks. And she put supernatural abilities of Jesus in the man-child body. I agree. The same thing is going to happen. The things that have been are the things that shall be. Except this time, it's like the Lord told me, every time history repeats, it repeats on a larger scale, and it's more and more people. And this time, you know, when Jesus in the New Testament became a body of Christ. You see, he started out an individual and became a body of people in whom he lives, right? And the same thing was true of Israel. Israel was a man's name, and later it was talking about his body on the earth, you know, in Edom and so on and so forth. All of these are the same way. It's a tradition in the Bible to do this. Now God is doing it, and everybody says, no, he can't do it. Makes sense, huh? She said, supernatural abilities of Jesus in the man-child. And I said, who goes to work after these earthquakes? I agree. That's what I said back then. And then here's a piece of the forgiving the repentant. This was Eve Brast, 4/2/2012. Here's the portion of the dream in context. I was awakened at 4 a.m. by a loud crashing boom outside our mobile home that shook the window, followed by 2 more lesser crashing booms, followed by 4 more, 7 booms or earthquakes. And after the booms stopped, I realized that a song was being sung in my mind. And the lyrics were, I can walk on water, I can fly, I will keep on fighting till I die. And she put this, fighting to kill the old man. That's true. It's a war against the flesh. It's a war against time, so that by the time our time is up, we have borne the fruit of Jesus, and he now replaces the old man, because the old man is dead, right? It's a war. We're to fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold on life eternal. Some people don't believe that. They think, well, I stepped over the line back there. I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. No, you're making a mistake. That's not how it works. We are here to bear fruit. Yeah. Those that do bear fruit will be in the kingdom, and those that don't, won't. We are justified by faith, and faith is accounted as righteousness. But if a person walks by faith and is accounted righteous, guess what? They will have what they believe. That's how you know the difference between mental assent and real faith. So, since the bride was hearing the man-child's voice in her mind, this is the man-child ministry, who will also do these wonderful things, coming after the time of the booming sounds, representing the seven great earthquakes. Now, we're not saying there's only seven earthquakes. They're talking about seven great earthquakes. You know, when Sandy saw these earthquakes, she saw three major places of earthquakes go across the country from the east to the west, but there were cracks running everywhere, and so there were many, many lesser earthquakes happening. And this is only speaking about the great earthquakes, and that's because when Planet X passes close to Earth, now remember what Planet X is. It's the outermost planet of a tiny solar system that is passing through our solar system. Sounds very dangerous, doesn't it? Yes. And it's the furthermost planet that comes close to Earth. And let's read on with her dream here. Well, this first is a comment. When the Israelites saw those who wanted to bring them into bondage on the shores of the Red Sea, they had a time of celebration, which could have brought them to April the 11th. It was 7 days to the Red Sea, and possibly another day for a couple of million people to pass through the Red Sea. I don't know. But to the 11th, I think that would be like 15 days. So, but they were definitely having a great celebration on the far side of the Red Sea before they decided to pick up and go into the wilderness, right? So, April the 11th could certainly be in that time period, and it very well could be in the time period of the earthquakes too. So consider this dream, or partial dream, given to Eve back on 4-2 of 09. Here is the portion of the dream in context. The angels pulled up to the hospital. It was dark, early morning, just before the dawn broke. I went up a stairwell to the second floor to find my assigned locker in the nurse's lounge and place the food and drink that had been provided for me in the locker. Suddenly, many children dressed in army BDUs came filing past me, getting ready for something, some event. I believe that these are the man children preparing to do battle. They're dressed in their army BDUs. They're preparing to do battle. She said, as I looked up from them to my right, I saw the commander of all of the troops, and I knew him instantly, even though I had never met him. His name was Adam, as in the last Adam, right? Jesus. And we know that the last Adam, Jesus, is coming in the man-child to be a demonstration so that he can come in the bride. As you know, John said of Jesus and his first fruits disciples, He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and Jesus put himself in them through his words and through his spirit, so that they were later called Christians by people who looked on. And it's the same today. The Lord wants to pass this gift on down the line to everybody who will repent and believe. And, of course, religion and people who don't know and shouldn't have ever went because they weren't sent are out there teaching a false gospel. The whole point of Jesus coming is so he could live in his people called the body of Christ. Who lives in the body of Christ? Jesus does. To the extent he lives in you, to that extent you're the body of Christ. Unless, of course, you just, we call a person that by faith, right? We do it by faith, okay? But to the extent Jesus lives and rules in us, we are the body of Christ, manifestly. And this is the gospel. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. So that's why I say, some people say, oh, you're just talking about a few supermen. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the whole body of Christ coming into his image in their time. You see? Now, we see people out there that grow faster than others. And Jesus manifests through them in different gifts and fruits and so on and so forth. But the Lord wants the body to grow up to be this way. And so he's sending an example. And the Bible says, by the way, to him that overcometh will I give authority. He doesn't make ministers out of people who don't control themselves, can't control themselves, live after the lusts of their flesh, etc., etc. So, because he wants an example of a true disciple of Christ. Jesus called them disciples. Others called them Christians. He called them disciples, which is a learner and a follower. A disciple learns from the master and follows him. Okay? And we should expect Jesus to live in us. And Jesus said, these signs shall accompany them that believe in my name. He went on to talk about casting out devils, healing the sick, you know, speaking in tongues, all these things, you know. So you see, there are signs, and they're the same signs that the first disciples had, except religion. Just like religion ruined God's people in Jesus' day, it's happening in ours. So, his name was Adam. She saw the commander of all the troops, and I knew him instantly, even though I had never met him. His name was Adam. And I said his name as we hugged and greeted each other with great joy. We were both the same rank. Well, let me say, Jesus said, as the Father sent me, so send I you, right? They have the same authority because Jesus lives in the bride. There you go. You see that? When Jesus lives in you, that's Jesus. He that receiveth you receiveth me. He that receiveth me receiveth him that sent me. You see? It's not giving any credit to man. We're talking about Jesus living in us, right? Anyway, she said, after he hugged me, he asked me with excitement and great joy, quote, are you ready for April the 11th? Now, you'll notice the same wording there, except the date is different. Are you ready for April the 11th? At first, it was March the 28th, right? Which was Passover. Now, this is, what, 15 days later than Passover. Are you ready for April the 11th? A sign was given on that April 11th, which was a record for large earthquakes. Get this. We got a sign. It wasn't the fulfillment of this revelation, but it was a sign, okay? And it was given on that April the 11th, and this was in 2009. And it was a record for large earthquakes around the world. Exactly what we're talking about. Also, the largest strike slip earthquake on record was an 8.6 that happened. It moved the earth 70 plus feet. We're going to have earthquakes that have never been recorded, even though they've been here before. They've never been recorded as to what size they were and so on and so forth. And some of them may be totally off the chart, you know, but moving the earth, they will. And but this day was a record day. The largest strike slip earthquake, 8.6, happened. It moved the earth 70 feet. We've been shown that these large earthquakes are coming at the time of the coming of the man-child ministry. And we had a video here that you could watch of 4-foot hail that fell in Texas on what? The 11th. What a weird thing happened. 4 feet of hail. I saw the pictures of that. It's amazing. I was, we went to a pot blessing one day, and it was at a friend's house, and we'd walked, there were some horses there and people riding them and stuff like that. We walked out into a field, and we looked up and we saw a tornado forming over our head. I mean, literally, looking straight up, it started turning, forming. I said, and everybody said, look, look, look. Well, before this, we knew that there was some bad weather in the area, and we asked the Lord to please not let it rain on us because we were going to have our pot blessing that day. And you know what? It didn't rain. It hailed. Got to be specific with the Lord sometimes. So it was. We looked up at it, and it started swirling. They said, that's a tornado. It's making a tornado, you know. We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I said, no, leave it alone. I want to see this. So we were watching it. And so anyway, we did ultimately rebuke it before it sucked us away. And it moved over just a little bit, not too far. I mean, it might have been 45 degrees from straight up that it moved over and started again. And before we knew it, hail about the size of maybe a nickel to a quarter was raining down. No, it didn't rain. But it was coming down, I mean, powerfully. The whole ground was covered, probably 4 or 5 inches. And it suddenly got cold because there was ice everywhere. 4 or 5 inches. And everybody was running for cover, you know, in the house and under a shed and all that stuff, you know. And we just watched it in amazement as it cut all the leaves out of the trees and all the green was down on the ground. So, can you imagine a 4-foot hailstorm? Okay, enough of this rabbit trail here, okay? He said, I sure am. Now, you probably lost the point. I am what? Are you ready for April the 11th? And she said, I sure am. He said, well, okay then. Put your things away and report to operating... Operating room 6, and she was a surgical nurse So it was just down her aisle, you know, God was giving her parables she could understand. Report to operating room 6. And I said, yes, sir. Then I woke up. And she says, operating room 6 represents cutting off the flesh and death to the old man. 6 is the number of man, right? And the Father gave me Song of Solomon 8:6 for the operating room 6. Well, my note was, notice the verse 8 and 6 was also the size of the largest slip fault quake on April the 11th above, an 8.6. Could this be foretelling? Not necessarily a date, but what this date represents in the future. Remember what we found out about March the 28th. I mean, it represented a time when the beast and the harlot were trying to take control over the people of God, you know. So there was your answer. I mean, when we looked up what happened on that day, it told us. Could it happen on that day? Sure it could. God's big. He can do anything he wants to do. And the same but with this date, April the 11th, same thing. It's I don't think it's an accident. Just right after, just a few days after the Passover, and it's still during the time when the earthquakes from Planet X would be working. But this date represents in the future a day of many great quakes and a slip fault quake. Because, let me say, when Planet X passes through, it grabs the crust of the Earth. Now remember, the Earth is spinning at something more than 1,000 miles an hour at its perimeter. And it grabs the Earth's crust and moves it on the core. And that's why these are such terrible earthquakes. Is you know, it's ripping planet Earth in pieces, you know. So this Song of Solomon verse says that Jesus is the seal upon the bride's heart. But the verse numbers and the title is what the Lord magnified to me. 8 is the number of Jesus, and 6 is the number of man. And that was the verse 8 and 6, Song of Solomon 8 and 6, just like the slip vault, right? So Jesus in man is the man child, and this is completed in spirit at the anointing and the sending. So some people say that's blasphemous that the Lord, you know, unless you indeed be reprobate, the Bible says, Christ lives in you. Unless you indeed be reprobate. If Christ doesn't live in you, to some extent, you're rejected by God. That's what reprobate means, by the way. You're rejected by God. The manifestation of Christ in you, 30, 60, and 100-fold, because that was the seed of the sower, which he sowed in the hearts of men. And in that text in Matthew 13, in some places, the word seed there is sperma. So you see, God does want the fruit of Christ growing in us. It's his plan. 30, 60, and 100-fold. And we grow into this from glory to glory, which is star glory, moon glory, and sun glory. So this is God's plan, which the church has pretty much rejected. They would rather just say, hey, I'm saved, and I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior, which is not in the Bible, by the way. It is in the Bible, repent and believe, because if you repent and believe, Jesus can live in you. If you don't repent, you're still living in you. You're not leaving any room for him, right? So this is also when the groom and the man-child and the bride find each other, which is the story of Song of Solomon. Pretty neat. So you're getting a revelation here of the Passover. And you're getting a revelation here of the judgments that happen. The Passover, of course, is a Passover of a plague. And the judgments that happen as far as earthquakes. We're getting these revelations here. And let me point something out to you. When you have a dream like this, and it doesn't come to pass the first year, some very foolish people speak up something that they don't know, that this was false. As you can see, we're far closer to this time when this is going to come to pass. And it wasn't false. And sometimes you don't know how to interpret, and sometimes you get more interpretation along the way, and maybe even by the time it does come to pass, you get the understanding of it. Lots of times interpretations don't all come at the same time. But people are very foolish and quick to accuse other people of being false or having a false dream, which there's no such thing as calling somebody a false prophet because they have a dream. No such thing in the Bible as that. But anyway, you can see the enormity of this revelation. And when it's going to be fulfilled, it seems very plain that it'll be fulfilled when Planet X comes through somewhere around in the spring, and it could possibly even be on the 28th and April the 11th. So, and the second dream was given to me on 4-6 of 09. And here's the portion in context. I went back to the barracks tent, and I saw the same commander of all the troops named Adam. He was supervising our preparation for the road march we were going on. And at that time, in 2009, I put going into the wilderness. So, this is interesting. I mean, 7 days after the 28th of March, or at the most 8 days after the 28th of March, they were on the other side of the Red Sea having a party. A few days after that, they went into the wilderness. He said, are you ready for April the 11th? Obviously talking about going into the wilderness or whatever else happens on April the 11th. But when do they come to that place? It would have to be after the Red Sea, where they're parked on the edge of the wilderness. And suddenly Moses, who is typed as Adam here, Moses being the man-child in his day, Jesus being the man-child in his day, and the man-child in our day, a corporate body of people, of reformers, ready to go into the wilderness with the people to teach them the truth about the Word of God and the promises of God and the will of God and how God really wants to live in His people. And as we see, the whole purpose of this is so that God can come in His people before He comes for His people. Because no man hath ascended into heaven but him that descended out of heaven. Do you understand? Jesus said that. I didn't make that up. The Lord is coming for Jesus. Many people are very mistaken about that. They don't understand that they're here to bear the fruit of Jesus. And it's the word of God in a person's heart, as the parable of the sower, that brings forth the fruit of Jesus in you. So, isn't the most important thing in the whole wide world for us to be into God's Word, putting it into our heart and walking in it, assimilating it, not just knowing it? Some people have knowledge. They can quote the Bible frontwards and backwards, but they don't know what it says, and they're not about to walk in it. We're talking about assimilating it, right, into your life. That's what a disciple is. Today, Christian doesn't mean much, you know. It really doesn't. But if a person calls themselves a Christian, then other people call them Christians nowadays. But back then, they weren't calling themselves Christians. They were calling themselves disciples, and other people called them Christians because they saw the fruit in them. Yeah, so how low we have fallen here. So this Adam was leading this road march into the wilderness, and that's what Moses did at the same place and about the same time, you know. So we'll see. And here's a note. I had also, at the beginning of a fast, asked the Father, and this is Eve's note, for a dream to explain the meaning of April 11th in 2013. And up until the end of the second day, I had not received one. I wondered why, and I heard in my spirit, the morning of the third day. So I realized the Father was going to give me the dream on the morning of the third day. Does that sound familiar? Well, certainly it does. Hosea 6, 2 and 3. The Lord comes as the latter rain on the morning of the third day. And we're talking about the third thousand-year day, right? A day is unto the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And here we are. We're on the morning of the third day of Jesus' coming. On the morning of the third day, as the man-child to lead the woman into the wilderness. Hosea 6, 2 and 3. And when I woke up, I wrote it down. It's along the same theme as the other dreams about April the 11th. We're packing to go somewhere. And also, it reminds me of Moses being anointed. And we all started packing to go somewhere and ended up on the trailer, pulled by Moses on a John Deere tractor. Yeah. We thought John Deere here would probably mean John the Baptist's repentance ministry, right? Going into the wilderness behind John the Baptist's repentance ministry, repentance preaching, so on and so forth. And Moses was driving. Uh-huh. So, and Moses was a type of the man-child, like so many in the Bible, a reformer, like so many in the Bible, including Jesus and Joseph and David and on and on. Jeremiah, Ezekiel was called up to the throne of God, you know, and he came back to preach to the people in captivity, just like the man-child's going to do. I mean, there are little types and shadows all the way back, pointing out together. They point out the ministry of the man-child in our day. And we know this because the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. No new thing under the sun. It's just history repeating over and over. And when you find a doctrine out there that lets God's people escape everything bad while they're still bad and not interested in walking in the steps of Jesus, you know it's a bunch of baloney. You know, history repeats. We know what's going to happen because it's already written in the scriptures what it's going to happen. all of the Old Testament, and let me say, all of the New Testament is a prophecy of the end times, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. Amen. So this is a way to get much revelation very quickly. Once you see the types and shadows and the similar words that are spoken about each of these man-childs in their particular time and so on, so you can see it. You can see that God has always sent reformers to his people. And now, since God's people are not just a little country in the Middle East, but they are a people who are around the world and need a reformer that is around the world, because they're facing a beast and a harlot that is around the world. So Jesus was the type and the shadow. He was the pattern son, you see. So his relationship with the Roman beast and the harlot of apostate Israel is the same relationship today. There is no difference. And they will crucify people today in whom Jesus lives just like they did back then. It lets you know who they are. We know who the Judases are. We know who the Pharisees and the Sadducees are. We know who the Roman government is. Because remember the legs of the Roman government, it went all the way down to the 10 toes, which are the 10 continental divisions of the earth in which this beast is faced off with the body of Christ. I hope you're getting my drift here. So obviously, the John the Baptist, the preaching of repentance, which, by the way, that spirit is in the earth today. It is in the earth today. Just as Jesus is not an individual person in the earth today, he's a body of Christ today in the earth. Not that Jesus himself is not an individual. Don't get me wrong. I'm just talking about how does this manifest on earth? There are John the Baptist all over the earth. The Bible bears me out on this. And that spirit is going forth to bring people to repentance. And I believe we're going to see people all the way up until the timing of going into the wilderness, which the Bible tells us in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 is the tribulation. No. Now I can just see people pulling their hair and running the other direction. Oh, no, I don't want to go there. Well, this is where Jesus is going to do all of his wonderful, miraculous works and bring people into the image of Jesus Christ and so on and so forth. Great things are coming in the tribulation. Great things. And also a testing, because no matter how much people hang out with good people, it doesn't necessarily make them a good person. And they can talk the talk, but that's not the proof. The proof is, can they walk the walk? And that's what the tribulation is all about. We're going to find out who can walk the walk. So there's a lot of fakers out there. And when they get tested, they go right back and crawl back under the rock they crawled out from under. And this is the way God has of separating the wheat from the tares. He said, let them grow together until the harvest. Then I'll send forth my angels, and I'll gather out of my kingdom all them that do wickedness and iniquity and cause stumbling, and gather them into bundles to burn them. So he's doing that. And the burning is coming. I'll put a link here to these dreams where you can read the whole thing if you want to. Again, these were way back there. 09, let's see, worse than that, some of them. 2011, 2012. And they're just as powerful today. So let me say, I think we're progressing very well. There is really nothing to worry about that I can see, including Biden, you know, sitting in his studio over there in Hollywood. Yeah. And if you look very closely, you'll see that that is not the Oval Office. Just to compare it to other, you know, you'll see it's not. And it's a studio made to look like the Oval Office. And he has just about as much authority there. So it's this is something I believe they're in total control over him. You know, he has been arrested, as the boot proves. All of the people that have worn the boots, the leaders in the government that have worn that boot, they have all been arrested. They've all been read their rights. They've all been shown what we got on you, and are you going to cooperate? If not, we'll just give you the needle now, you know. And so anyway, and you're seeing a lot of duplicates out there. It's very clear. I'm looking at a picture of Biden back a year and a half ago and the Biden that we got today, and this guy is in much better shape. Even though not mentally, he's in much better shape than the original Biden who died. So, and he was a terrible criminal too. Okay, this Biden, you might find, is being obedient and showing the world what is the plan of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Even the leftists don't like it. There's nothing like showing somebody. You can tell people, okay, but nothing like showing somebody, you know, and that's what's happening. It's a big show, and it's being put on, and these people are being controlled, and they better obey. Some of them can have a better death. Some of them can you know, live in locked up for the rest of their life. And some of them wanted to die with honor, like McCain and Daddy Bush. They chose to die with honor rather than having everything revealed about them, because it's pretty nasty, really, really nasty. So, you know, I'm not suggesting that you spend a lot of time studying into all this. As you can see, I'm using it for a teaching and to show people what we need to pray about, because, you know, they think they're in control of the earth, but really it's not them. It's the Lord through us that's in control of the earth. He said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. And God, people don't take him seriously about this. It is true. I started taking notes back when we started just praying for these things, to pray in President Trump and to pray out some other wicked people. And I started taking notes of the fulfillments of the prayers that we would pray and how they quickly were fulfilled. And everybody realized, whoa, we're doing some good here. We're changing things. That's right, you know. So they want to take out the conservatives because they think they're doing all this. No, they're not. And let me say that there is a faction on the other side that is a bunch of witches that are literally covering the globe, who are sending forth their curses to try to bring this revival of the democratic process, I should say. And they want to bring it down, because their Lord Satan wants to stay in control through the elite, through the deep state, through the Chinese Communist Party, on and on and on. These are Satanists. I don't care whether they call themselves Satanists, it doesn't make any difference. They're Satanists. And the elite in over the deep state are a people that are literally Satanists. They sacrifice to Satan. They sacrifice babies, hundreds of thousands of babies, in order to have power from Satan. And you're going to see the proof of this come forth. They're a miserable bunch, and they don't want the world to know what they have done. It's weird that inside they actually know it's evil. It's not respected. They're going to be hated for doing it. But they think they're over and above us and wiser than us and so on and so forth. So anyway, we saw that it really wasn't the parties who are in control here. It's the Lord. He's in control. He told us things about not praying for certain things, and we wouldn't because we knew he had a purpose in it, you know. And he told us to pray and to exercise authority and to cast down certain works and things of the enemy. And we've done that. We've watched it happen. One of the verses I shared with you and some of the text here was that the enemy is going to turn against each other. Guess what? When they bring somebody in like that and they show them everything the NSA has on them, which is a lot, and what the investigators have found, and it's a lot, and they show it to them, they're ready to cooperate. They don't want this to be known. And so what we've seen is, like, for instance, Jehoshaphat and the armies that came against him were divided and fought against each other. Well, when these people, there is no honor among these thieves, liars, fornicators, slanderers. There's no honor among them, period. If they get in a tight, they will turn everybody in. And they are turning on one another as fast as they collect them in. They're turning on one another and giving more evidence, eyewitness evidence, and it's all being recorded. And their trials are being video recorded. And their confessions are being video recorded. There won't be any question about, did we get the wrong guy? There won't be any questions about it. It's just God's giving this awesome, wonderful plan to do this thing without the wholesale slaughter of a civil war. Now, we know there is an uncivil war going on out there, but it's kind of low. It's not high on the totem pole, and a lot of people don't even know what's going on. That's just the way it's happening. So, and a lot of people don't know U.S. troops are over there in China helping to overthrow the very basis of these people that I'm calling the Democratic Party, Communist Party, and the deep state, and the mainstream media, and the tech giants, and the heads of nations who've been bribed by the Chinese money. One guy stood up and said, no, I'm not going to do that to my people. And he put it out there. Some of you probably read that story. I forget what head of what country he was. But he put it out there. And then they knew that the Chinese Communist Party was doing this everywhere. And a lot of people took the money. So, yes, these people will be replaced. And are being replaced. And you are seeing some doubles out there, you know. I'll just leave it at that. You know, you are seeing some of that out there, for sure. I mean, they're comparing faces to faces, and you can tell, obviously, this is not the same person. You know, I mean, Hillary, in one instance, standing next to Bill, she was 6 inches shorter than in another picture where she was really, the real Hillary was standing next to Bill. She's 6 inches shorter. Figure out how you can do that. And, of course, she looks a lot younger, too. People forget what Hillary looked like before she left, you know. Yes, she left. So, you know, people just think, I don't know why they just accept something like that, but a few wise people have done a lot of research and compared and realized, oh boy, this is just a big show that's being put on. That's true. And yes, ever since Dolly, well, I should say, long before Dolly the sheep, they've been cloning and cloning people. So if you believe it happened with Dolly the sheep, which it did, fine-looking sheep she was, they're doing it with humans. They're very expensive because they have to educate them. They have I wouldn't say supernatural, but they have ways to do that. And lots of people have doubles. Some of them have more than one double. I'm talking about doubles, but clones too, you know, out there. So you may hear people saying, well, so-and-so was tried and executed, and they might even have a video on it, because if anybody did do it, they said they have videos on all of them. But here's this guy walking around out there. Yeah, something's a little different about him, but he's still walking around out there, so that can't be right. Yes, it can. It's all going to come out, so I won't look so stupid very soon when I say things like this. God is so good. He is so merciful with us. Lord, we have escaped so much here, so much terrible stuff, because of the wisdom that you gave to both the military and President Trump and the people of his cabinet and so on and so forth. Lord, it's working wonderfully. And I don't really see any big threat, even the plague, because you've told us, Lord, what you're going to use that plague for. The same thing it's been used for in the past, even way back in Egypt. You're going to remove people who are controlling your people, keeping them from having your best and living your best and growing into the stature of Christ. And thank you for doing that, Lord. And also, the Planet X earthquakes that go around the globe, Lord, we know you're in absolute control over every one of them cracks out there. And you are a sovereign God. A man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, as we read recently. Nothing except it come from heaven. You are in absolute control, Lord. You work all things after the counsel of your own will. You don't need anybody else's counsel. And you know exactly what you're doing. Now, people are looking at Trump, and they're giving all credit to Trump. Why? Because he is doing things like this very wisely, and he knows how to play checkers. No, I'm not kidding. I mean, but that wisdom was given to him by God. God is the one doing this. And there's a sparrow can't fall to the ground without God. And he has the hairs of your head numbered. The hairs of your head. Now, I don't know about your head, but mine change every day, you know. And he still knows how many. So we have this sovereign God who is ruling during this time. Do we have anything to fear? No, not as long as you're walking with him and you're walking by faith and you're justified by your faith that Jesus took away your sins and you're against those sins and you want them gone and you're cooperating with God in the process and thanking him every day for his power working in you to bring it to pass, you know. So, it's a wonderful thing God's doing. We have nothing to fear. I tell you, when people read our book, Sovereign God, and they come away with a great relief, a rest and a peace that they've never had when they read Sovereign God. Because they're always being attacked by what could happen, what might happen. Oh, when is the devil going to jump out from behind a tree and do this or do that or whatever, you know? And when they realize a God is a good God, and He loves us, He wants to give us His best. Sometimes He does have to chasten us and so on and so forth. And He is sovereign, meaning His will is the only will that's happening here on this earth. He works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And He does it with His wicked vessels too. He can even make Biden say, well, we put together this great deception with the, you know, he can even make him say that. He can make them say what he wants them to say. It's just astounding. But anyway, when they read our book, Sovereign God, it's on our site, it's free, just like all the rest of our books and all of our materials, you know, they're free. Because Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. So that's what we do, and we like it. So, and the Lord brings in the money to take care of it because we're obeying Him, you know. But if you read that book, you can read it right off our site for free. You can buy it from somebody that prints it for just a little bit, far less than any book like that. And we are, every once in a while, we bulk print. So, and when we bulk print books, we give them away free. But you have to deal with these other people, you know, and shipping and all this stuff, and it's just more than we can handle right now. But the day is coming, we're probably going to bulk print all the books and all the materials and stuff. So, and we give it away. And anyway, when you read that book, it's going to give you peace because you're going to realize God who loves you is in control. This plantation down here is His. He handles the sun. He handles the rain. He handles it all. And of course, we go through testings to prove to us who we are and what we need and where we need to go. I mean, all of this is part of bearing the fruit of Jesus. And that rest that people get from discovering that God is sovereign over everything, it sticks with you for a while. I've noticed people getting nervous and upset and, you know, so on and so forth, and they realize that the Lord's putting it in their heart to go back and read that again. And they do, and they get peace again. Because it's all God's, you know, it's all Him. Father, we thank You so much for what You're doing for Your people through all of this. We know there is a great revival coming. Lord, when the Northern Army in Joel chapter 2 had conquered the apostate people of God, because they really didn't want to do the will of God, they just wanted to be called the people of God. They had marched through Israel, the northern 10 tribes, and conquered them, and they came up to the bride who was evidently righteous. And the people of God cried out, the bride and the groom came out of hiding, and they were revealed at that time. And when that happened, the northern 10 tribes were driven into the sea, just like Pharaoh. The eastern and the western sea, right? just like Pharaoh, driven into the sea, destroyed. And what happened when God's people came up out of that sea? Well, they had a revival on that other bank, and they got baptized in the Holy Spirit, which Paul said they were baptized in the water and in the cloud being the Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit before they went into the wilderness. And guess what happens in Joel chapter 2? The same thing. When the northern army is smitten, the Lord left behind a revival, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on his people. And so, we know that we're coming to God smiting our enemies, as he did both at the Passover and at the Red Sea, and an outpouring of his Spirit on the people who are going into the wilderness. Now, back then, it was the Jews that were going into the wilderness, and they were baptized, as Paul said, in the cloud and in the sea. And today, let me say that the people who call themselves Christians, but can never be Christians, is in most cases because they won't receive the Holy Spirit. They've been taught against it by evil leaders, which need to be removed. They've been taught a lie about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit and how they all passed away. Well, they did pass away from them because they went to Bible school. But they haven't passed away. And Jesus called it an eternal covenant, so they can't pass away. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's going to do everything the same way. And he said, don't you dare add to my words or take away from my words, or I'll add to you the what? Plagues. If you take away from his word, which is his promises, he said he'll add to you the plagues that are written in this book. You see why some religious people are not going to escape the plague? They've taken away most important things, like being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidences of speaking in tongues. There is nothing in the Bible negative about speaking in tongues. It tells you the Holy Spirit does that through us because we're ignorant about what to pray for. And he is not. And he always prays in faith, and he always gets what he prays for. Telling me that's the least gift? Oh, no. God doesn't agree with you there. It's the most often gift that's given. That just tells you how important it is. Paul said, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than all of you. So, you see, these liars have stolen from God's people this protection, this power, this deliverance, this healing. People are dead because they never received the Holy Spirit. The overwhelming majority of people that call themselves Christians have never received the Holy Spirit with the evidence. They've never done it. But God says we're coming to a place that the people who go into the wilderness are going to be baptized in the Spirit. Ooh, that'll cause a revival. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's going to be a wonderful revival. And it's pointed out in quite a few places. You know, like in Exodus, like in Joel 2, like in Acts chapter 2, you know. Praise God. So, Lord, we're just asking you, Father, to open the eyes of your people. They've been blinded by false teachers, wolves in sheep's clothing. Open the eyes of your people. Let them see there's something wrong here. Lord, with me, you gave me a gift to read. I never was a person that liked to read, but I could not stop reading. I just read and read and read, and I realized this is God's Word. And so I went to church because I thought I'd find people there that were just like that. And I found out that they aren't that way, and they're just taking for granted things that are taught to them, but they've never went and looked in the Word to find out the truth. Oh, Father, put it in the heart of your people. Lord, I know things like this plague is going to cause a lot of people to start searching the scriptures. I'm trying to get people to read things that I've put together for years, telling them there's a plague coming. You need to get ready. You need to believe the promises. And you know what? They're so busy with their life thinking, oh, this crazy. This stuff is not going to come. It already did come one time, just exactly as we shared. Years after we shared it, it came to pass. The COVID-19 thing. And we spoke of something worse to follow. And now we're speaking about that because we're having recent dreams about this. And they're still not listening. They're too busy with life. Not getting prepared. Not preparing their families. Read the 7 steps. To God's vaccination on the front page of our website, UBM1.org, UBM1.org. Read it, 7 steps, and read God's vaccine, and get prepared. Get the promises in your heart so that they come to your mind automatically when a plague comes through. I always try to boldly confess that it's not going to take me. It's not going to have any effect on me whatsoever. And if you believe that, and if you're walking with the Lord, it's, you know, the Bible says faith without works is dead. So your actions need to agree with your faith. People are going out and getting these vaccines, even though people are telling them, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. And I agree, there are some vaccines out there that were just the flu vaccine. And I understand that Putin did the same thing, put out a vaccine that's just a flu vaccine. But some of these vaccines are Bill Gates vaccines for the purpose of putting a chip in you and changing your DNA and making you sick. And ultimately, when they give the next vaccine, which has to be adjusted because the diseases always morph. So then they put another dose of that in you. And ultimately they take away your health and you're dying of something. You know. If you've done this, just repent. Confess it to the Lord. Say, Lord, I've put my trust in man. And I don't want this. And please deliver me in Jesus' name. There's nothing the Lord can't heal you of, right? And let me say that the mark of the beast that counts in Revelation chapter 13 comes in the middle of the tribulation period. Okay, is this something leading up to? Yeah, probably so. Yeah. Well, Father, thank you for our get-together today. Thank you that we have been so blessed of you, that you are taking down our enemies. And thank you so much, Father, in the name of Jesus. You care for us. You love us. You're going to take care of us. You provide for us. And you gave us a Passover lamb, Jesus. Now we just need your grace to even eat the Passover lamb so we can escape the plague that's coming upon this world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you for joining me today. And I threw this together very quickly, so please be forgiving. I may have misspelled something or misstated something or whatever, so just be forgiving. Thank you so much. God bless you. Bye-bye.